and I'm so pleased to welcome to our very special guest from PsychAssess. They're Dr. Paula Kleiger and Lori Blumenstein Bott, and I want to welcome them back into the conference room. Thank you both very much for joining me. And, you know, you hear the conversation this morning. We're going to talk about this thing called divisiveness, what we currently have in this country, and you know, very emotional times, of course, and we know that we're leading into an election. I'm just going to open it up to you, Dr. Kleiger, and really, you hear my perspective. You've heard my emotional plea as it relates to our military and the vets, and you hear we had a ton of callers, and I obviously couldn't take all of them because I want to get to you. But what is your perspective as we talk about where we are as a country in the spirit of divisiveness, and how do we begin to mend this huge gulf that we have in our country right now? That's all we got to Kleiger.
So I wanted to start with just a little teeny quote from Isabel Wilkerson has this incredible book. It's called Cast, the best New York Times best-selling piece. And what she talks about is that our problem isn't just around issues of social injustice and race and so forth. It's about hierarchy. It's about how we are embedded in these caste systems of power. And that actually, even though currently we aren't responsible for what was done and created centuries ago, we've got to fix it, okay? We're the ones who have to fix it. And that means that everything that we think about around how power should be handled, wielded, needs to change. So one of the things that I've been writing a lot about and talking a lot about, and Lori and I are going to talk about, is sharing power. Okay? It's not about, it's one of the things that's so hard for us to recognize is that we all want to be recognized in life. We all want to be special. We all want to have a voice. And now more than ever, right, individuals across the entire globe can have a voice. And so a lot of noise comes up with a lot of opinion, and that's what leads to the divisiveness. But we're on this planet together. And if we don't learn to share, if we don't learn and find ways, whether we're at home with our kids, whether we are at school, or whether we're in a business, we're trying to create a business, we're giving ourselves over to service as police, as, you know, in the military, if we don't learn to think about how to share and take turns respectfully in valuing human life, then we're not going to make it as a planet. So that's what we want to talk about today. That's okay. What Lori and I want to focus on, sharing power. And that's the do. That's the call to action. We can talk about our problems forever. We can talk about the divisiveness in the problem, but we need to learn to do something about it. So that's how I'd like to start.
Okay.
What do you think sharing power means to you, for example?
Yeah. Okay. Let me before we go proceed, I want to make clear. I have Dr. Kleiger, Paula Kleiger, and Lori Blumenstein. By the way, they were PsychAssess. I want to make sure I say they were PsychAssess out of Birmingham, Michigan, and the great city of New York City. Sharing power is, you know, that's a great question. And we all get a taste of power. We like the power because we think that we can certainly invoke what we want to say, invoke and tell people what to do. But sharing power, it's not, from my perspective, Dr. Kleiger, that's not sharing power. Sharing power to me is understanding, surrounding yourself with people who are smarter than you, quite frankly, surrounding yourself with people with like-minded views, with diverse backgrounds, diverse personalities. If you surround yourself with people like that, guess what? You have increased the value of power. And because you're talking about two-way communication, to me, that's what power. If people make me look good, and in turn, I make them look good, guess what? We've all been empowered. We've been empowered to make decisions. We've been empowered to have conversations. So let me turn it back over to you in a second. But when I worked in corporate for 25-plus years, and one of the things I did is I empowered my team. I empowered my employees. And I think to this day, many of them keep in touch with me because of the fact that I entrusted them, and they forever feel grateful to me in terms of helping them. So I'll turn it back over to you. That's my perspective of sharing power. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Outstanding. Lori, do you have some thoughts about this to share?
Well, I think Mark has kicked us off in the right direction, and I especially appreciate when you kind of intervened in the last caller that in order to share power, you have to be able to respect other people's perspectives and points of view, and to be able to listen. Part of sharing power means that you have to be able to listen and sit and respect the diversity in thinking around you, right? That's how we build collaboration in teams, and that increases the power that we have. It's also interesting that we're talking about this, and I'm sure you all hearken back to, you know, kindergarten when you got on your little report card there that, you know, shares well with others. And it's funny, you know, that's really the place that this begins. We really, that here's our call to action. You know, are you sharing well with others? And if you keep that in your head and use that, let's talk about how applicable, right, that is to what we're doing now with parents that are educating kids at home, working at home. You know, this is the opportunity that is everywhere. Politics, there isn't any place that we have to embrace this type of thinking and action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's so right on. And there's so many confusing messages.
Yeah.
And I think we get confused and we get, and it stirs us up. It stirs up our anxiety. It stirs up, like, fears of all kinds. But you know what? When we step back, as Lori says, if we can step back and listen, I think first listen to ourselves, listen inside to all the rumble, and kind of settle ourselves down, take a deep breath, and realize that the person in front of us, or the person we're hearing, they're trying to tell us something. Maybe it sounds way over the end of the track. Very different than us. But if we can try to listen, we might hear their anxiety as opposed to the negative thing they're saying. We might be able to ask them a question. You know, how can I help? How can we do this together better? So sharing power also has to do with being able to sit with the uncomfortable feelings first, pause, and then listen and see if we can begin to come together around some of these very divisive, well, controversial ideas. The other thing is, I think we all know what truth is. We look deep inside, we know when something's a lie. We really do. I think that we may be so scared, we may not call on that part of ourselves.
You know, you make a good point. I think we have so many megaphones out there right now. We have so many megaphones, starting with social media. Now, before I hear some people, don't start getting off my case. Hear me out. We have so many megaphones. Social media is a powerful tool. Technology is a powerful tool. But we also know that people can have a tendency of using it in an unfiltered way. They're using it as a megaphone. And what's happening is that people are challenging each other without thinking things through, and not, to your point, not listening to the other side. I mean, I want to say to all the callers, you respect all your phone calls, but we're not going to have you call in and call people names on radio. That's just not fair. That's not respectful, and that's what we're getting at. We talk about this divisive country. Yes, I go through all these social media posts. I started deleting people who are too divisive. I deleted people who are not listening. And Dr. Quagley, you're making and you both make a good point. When you talk about power, you talk about sharing. Social media has kind of, it's powerful in one way, no pun intended, don't get me wrong. But in the other way, it's provided this unfiltered megaphone that people would not normally have. And as a result, they're not listening to each other. Thoughts? Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to say that one of the things that you're bringing up is with social media and that kind of communication, it's one dimensional, right? You're talking out or at, and you're not engaging. Mm-hmm. And so it's really that kind of anonymous conversations that are nowhere near sharing power. They're nowhere near real communication because it's too one dimensional. And we have to practice, because we've gotten too caught up in that kind of communication. We have to practice that reciprocal communication. Because, frankly, we've kind of gotten very out of practice with it because of social media and all of that. And so when we come together, it's like a beginning again.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Clark, your thoughts in the same space?
Well, I want to go back and stay with the notion that it starts from within. You know, I think that we are so easily triggered now. From our own history, you know, all of us, I don't know, black, white, indigenous, young, old, we all have had experiences that try us, that have been enormously painful. And I think today, more than ever, when we hear these confusing messages that are outrageous, that are hurtful languages used and so forth, it triggers these old painful feelings. And we speak out of turn. We forget that words matter. Words matter. How we communicate with each other matters. Painful language that is painful, that is destructive, matters. And just think about it. Imagine someone says something to you that's really hurtful and hateful, and you carry that with you to the grocery store. You carry that with you to, you know, the person that, you know, comes to help you with your youngster for tutoring, and so forth and so on. However, you hear something that's sweet and caring and respectful, you carry that to the grocery store. You carry that to the tutor. You carry that, and then that person spreads it. We need to be thinking more about inside ourselves. Self-study, which is so much a part of what psychiatric is all about, because it's from that point of view that we can begin to look at our own internal divisiveness and start correcting it and learning to take turns.
What's happening, too, is in this spirit as we get closer to the election, and people are beginning to share this divisiveness. It's almost like people are going back into their own respective shell. They almost feel very protected to say something because I know somebody else has got my back. I may not, you know, where 4 or 5, 20, 100 years ago, let me restate that. People are going into their boxes and they're compartmentalizing some things. But if you go back 20 years ago, 10 years ago, even in politics or in business, people were very respectful of each other. They listen to each other. No, we don't have the perfect union, which is what the purpose of the Declaration of Independence is. We're supposed to get the perfect union. We're not there yet. And I think that for some reason, it seems like the last 3 or 4 years, that spirit of reaching out and talking to each other has lost that value. And people just feel empowered to say whatever they want to say, irrespective of how they make other people feel.
Exactly right. Right. And that is, again, if we honestly, I keep taking us back to kindergarten, really. All of these lessons were foundational lessons that we learned in our life. And so when Dr. Kleiger goes back and says we need to focus on self-study, you need to remember how you were, you know, brought into this life to be around others. And it was to be able to connect, to be able to meet people where they're at, to be respectful. Those are all those life lessons that we are continuously taught. And when we step away from those things, everybody notices, the people we work with, our children, our family, and that pulls us farther away, not closer together.
As we think about school, go ahead, please, go right ahead, go.
So what you're really talking about is this notion of modeling. I mean, we really do model. And whatever we model is what our young people take from us. And even our, you know, our like-minded friends and family and so forth model us. Because that's where we are most of the time. So what we have been modeling is something much more destructive and harmful to ourselves. We are shooting ourselves in the foot, in other words, rather than building inner strength and actually, you know, I said I think many times on this radio show, love is not a wimp word. Care and concern is not wimpy. That is strength. Coming back to learning how to talk to each other and share our different views and come up with some really good solutions, that is strength. Fighting, anger, that's okay. Anger's okay. It's the how. It's all in the how. We model it. That's the deal.
So let's talk about the how for a second before we talk about the future and which direction of bringing this country together, which you hope is possible right now. But we referenced that schools just started to just open up, whether virtually, in some cases face-to-face, but mostly virtually this past week. And, you know, as you both know, I'm also an instructor at teach class at Eastern Michigan University, Northwood, and Madonna University. So we had our first few classes, and then most of them were virtual. And I want to applaud the students. I am applauding them because virtually they were engaged. But these are college students. They were engaged in the conversation. I received some wonderful emails after class. Because you can see I'm a very passionate person. My passion comes through. If you see me through Zoom, if you hear me on radio, that's just who I am. I believe in what I have a very strong belief system. So now let's talk about to the parents who have younger kids. And now they're starting school virtually, so they're not getting that social interaction, but yet we're talking about divisiveness and power in that model. What do you say to those parents who are grappling with teaching my kids online? How do I get them that exposure and make them much more comfortable in terms of still with that social interaction and also empowering them as they're getting ready to go back to school this week?
So there's a lot there for parents, and they're managing far more than they've ever managed at any other point in their life. But they have this unique opportunity with their children now to be able to really share power with them and help mm-hmm. them understand it even as they're doing their lessons online. So, you know, are you getting into power struggles over simple things like, you know, oh, I don't want to get dressed, you know, okay, we'll get partially dressed. Let's talk about how to do that, you know, halfway. Where do I want to sit? You know, giving, that is the beginning of them understanding that there is that collaboration, that there is that shared power. Absolute power, you know, that, you know, dictatorial stuff doesn't work. We know it doesn't work, and it doesn't help our children understand how to step into the world. And so this is the opportunity to really work on that. The social piece that you bring up, that is a harder thing. And so how do we look at opportunities, you know, outside of the Zoom lessons to connect in a more natural way and, you know, with others? Those are the struggles that families have all the time. And they're getting very creative. And I think that's something that the coronavirus has helped us to do even before school started, is to help us get very creative. And those things we have to hold on to. So I think the key here is, and this is where Paula talked about the how is present in everything we do in life. It's present in how we work with our kids, how we model to our kids, how we talk to our neighbors, how we connect with everybody in our network, whether it's a grocery store person. These are the things that if we own it, then there's the action call. We got to own this stuff. We can't just be on, you know, autopilot. That isn't how life's mm-hmm. going to work.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Quiger?
You know, it's so interesting because I'm thinking also of families that are home around this school's beginning and so forth. And young people, even in their 20s and so forth, are home. I mean, this isn't just kids. These are right. like a range of kids who have come home to go to college, stay at home, and do college virtually and so forth. And they kind of like, you know, grumpy and don't, you know, not interested in helping around the house and so forth. And I think that sort of what parents really can do is again, the notion of empowering and saying, you know, this home is yours too. It's not just dad and mine. It's not just mine. It's yours. What can you do? What do you like doing around the house? You don't like loading the dishwasher? You know, you don't like taking, you know, the laundry. What do you like to do? And taking, mm-hmm. getting involved in being a part of whatever it is. If it's home, being a part of your family, taking more ownership of that. Or something like at work, having a boss who says, what would you like to do? What would you like to stretch into? That's sharing power, too.
Yeah, I think that's your idea. Thank you for calling it to the conference room with Marcus Lee and Dr. Paula Kleiger and Lori Blumenstein. What are you thinking? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you so much for this very difficult but very diplomatic conversation you all are having today.
Thank you.
I really
thank
do
you.
Respect your effort. Mark, you're a competent professional, and you're going to try to stay above it. Or as our former flautist says, go high when they go low.
thank you. Thank you so much.
It's a tall order, though. It's a very tall order because I'm going to bring my butt in there, B-U-T. You know, I've been listening to some online discussions a little bit here and there, and a gentleman named Dr. Boyce Watkins has been discussing this process also in a different way, calling out certain kinds of men as being boss hogs, boss hogs. And he says that as much as we want to think that life is all perfect and people are professional and treat each other well, there are a lot of boss hogs in certain levels of business, especially in upper echelon of business society. And it's not as simple as us trying to share these positions with those type of people. Because we kind of have one now running this country, if I may be candid. And I'm not bashing that person. I'm saying there are people who are at that level in society who are money strong, and they carry that mentality. And it's too many in that capacity. I think that's why we have so many problems with economic racism. Certain people, white males, pretty much the capitalist society are run by white males. And I'm going to stay at that level of this conversation most of the time, Mark, because it's real for people of a certain caliber who are black, who are trying to build their own society, their own capitalist entity. Not always working for, but because the money has been shifted so dramatically to that side and has been in that side forever, it's a tall order for us to try to shift so that people can act civil when they have that much power and control, and all the people under them who carry that same mentality. It is going to be a serious process to try to overcome, and I pray for us, and I read a lot, and I study a lot, and I talk to some diversity consultants, and I have colleagues who are that. It is not a simple process. It's going to take a certain level of special magic for it to start to break down. So I hope we work on it every day. You know, I'm not perfect. I say some very direct things to upper echelon white people in society because I'm a business professional, and they play games constantly, tossing money over our heads all day, every day. And I'm talking about it. I'm not being polite and sitting around and waiting on them to hand me my $25 million contract.
Thank you for your effort.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the call. I will give you ladies, we have 1 minute remaining. I'll give you both 30 seconds to bring it to a close. Starting with you, Lori.
So I thank the caller a lot. I think, you know, you're 100% correct. This is a very difficult conversation to have, and we have to stay with it. And there's a lot of people out there who use the term a boss hog kind of character, but what that translates to me is there's a lot of people in power with a lot of vulnerabilities, and they cover up those vulnerabilities with a lot of bravado and a lot of, you know, kind of emotional hiding. And so you have to stay with it, and you have to be willing to do, you know, kind of the due diligence to weather everything. And you're right about that. And that weathering sometimes is showing them that you can stay with it, you know, and that you're going to be around. But I think you bring up such an important point, and one that we definitely want to stay with. And I think it's something we should think about for the next time we come together.
All right, Dr. Kleiger, we've got 30 seconds.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that this is all about learning how to step up. It doesn't mean, as again, sharing about something doesn't mean you're wet. It means you are tapping into your ownership and your strength, and standing in when you are dealing with someone who is very, you know, aggressive. And finding ways to say, ouch, or whatever it takes to get them to step back as well and to listen. We have to model strength that is based on a collaborative mindset that is not destructive. That is the key here. We can learn to do that. The final thing is we must do things like vote. How are we going to get people out of office or out of these power positions unless we are taking full responsibility? That's part of responsibility.
Dr. Paul Klager, thank you very much. We're listening, but I'm literally up against the clock. You hear the music. Thank you very much. We'll check you out next month, the first Sunday. We're going to be right back talking about Moonscape. We'll be right back within the council.